So someone says that scripture was written by, just by people who are in power to gain control over other people. How do you counter that? Actually, this is basically a communist idea. Communism tries to interpret everything in the world in terms of class struggle. So there is a higher class, there is a lower class, and the higher class always exploit the lower class. And they say that when religion is a tool used by the higher class to exploit the lower class. But the problem with this interpretation of communism is, see, every philosophy is like a map. Now, suppose I have a map of Singapore. Then that will help me to go around Singapore. But suppose somebody gives me a map of Malaysia and then I go around Singapore. Then I'll just not find places. This doesn't make sense. So people who don't have an accurate map, that means their philosophy doesn't reflect with reality properly, they keep walking off their map because their map doesn't make sense with reality. So we see, first of all, if you look at the Bhakti tradition itself, if you look at scripture, it talks repeatedly about inverting the power structures. This is a defining characteristic of Bhakti, inverting the power structures. We see that Ambarish Maharaj is a Grahastha and is a Kshatriya. Durvasa Muni is a Brahmana and a Sannyasi. And yet the Bhagavatam shows that Durvasa Muni is higher. I once gave a class. There are 7 striking examples in the Bhagavatam of the inversion of the normal hierarchy. So much so, the Bhagavatam is actually so subversive in one sense, that even we have Bali Maharaj rejecting his own spiritual master, Shukracharya. You know, we have normally the side of good and the side of evil. But we have, you know, Indra is shown as lower than Rudrasura. So Rudrasura is shown as a greater devotee. And the most classic example is 2 examples. Of course, we see that the Yajna Brahman Patnis, their wives are shown to be higher than their husbands. And among all devotees, the gopis are shown to be the highest devotees. So basically, Bhakti, far from perpetuating the existing social hierarchy, talks about inverting it. There is a normal hierarchy to which respect is offered. But if there is Bhakti, then that hierarchy gets transcended. And we see, in general, this religion can and does become a tool for the powerful to dominate the powerless. But we will see that within religion itself, there are systems of reform which come up. The whole Bhakti movement is a movement of reform. Sometimes people ask, they say that you are propagating this discriminatory caste system. From India, there was such a terrible caste system, and you are spreading Indian culture now, so you are propagating the same discriminatory caste system. But actually, if we see, the Bhakti saints were often the victims of the caste system, and they are the primary leaders who agitate against the caste system. So rather than thinking of scripture as one body of knowledge or religion as one homogeneous unit where it's all being used to exploit, we understand that there are different kinds of people within religion also. And it is a sad truth that religion has been abused at times by the powerful to exploit the powerless. But within the same religion itself, reform religion has also come. And the Bhakti tradition is primarily a tradition of reform, where by giving supreme importance to devotion, the spiritual is repeatedly shown to trump the material. So the Bhagavatam offers respect to Brahmanas. It doesn't entirely reject the Brahmanas. But it shows that the Brahmanas are subordinate to those who have Bhakti. So in that sense, it's actually a means to break the stronghold of the powerful, not perpetuate that stronghold.